Thank you, Drew. I do frequently wear a number of hats, but that National Commission on AIDS and Public Health, Health and Human Services Program at Pew was a few years ago. So that's frankly where I got my education in public health, was some of the granddaddies of the public health community really introduced me to public health during the very early days of the HIV epidemic. And then I was lucky enough to have an opportunity to work at the Pew Charitable Trust with some other wonderful folks. So it's really nice to be here this afternoon and to be with all of you. As Drew indicated, I am in the Department of Health Policy at George Washington University, work closely with Sarah Rosenbaum and a terrific research assistant named Amber Rieke, and we have been focusing on this provision within the Affordable Care Act that really is calling on nonprofit hospitals to increase the what we would recognize as transparency and accountability on the part of those hospitals in terms of the community benefit obligations that they need to make. And I'm going to walk you through a little bit of very brief history, bring us up to the present, and then share with you a little bit about what we're doing at George Washington University. The first thing I need to tell you is that I have no, I'll just read this, the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation, I have none. So I just need to be clear about my disclosure. The concept of community benefit. Community benefit, many of you may know this. I'll try to go through this a little bit quickly, but it's an obligation that nonprofit hospitals have had for quite some time. It dates back to the 1950s, where the federal government essentially said, in exchange for your tax-exempt status and not paying any taxes, there is an expectation that you as a nonprofit hospital will provide a benefit to the community. For the early days of this obligation, that almost exclusively meant uncompensated care, paying the cost of the care or absorbing the cost of the care for folks who came to the hospital, needed those services, and were unable to pay. In 1969, the IRS broadened the classes of activities that they would count as community benefits. So, in addition to providing uncompensated care, the IRS broadened those categories and basically said there are some activities around education, around research, and others that promote community health that if you're spending those dollars as a nonprofit hospital, those will count toward the obligation that the IRS is going to hold you accountable for under the concept of community benefit. In 2009, pretty big span between 1969 and 2009, but in 2009 the IRS introduced something called the Schedule H form. So in addition to providing the community benefit contributions in those categories that I briefly described, in 2009 the IRS said, okay, now you need to actually report to us on how much money you've spent in total in a given fiscal year and in what categories. How are those dollars allocated? So if you're spending it on uncompensated care, how much of your total? If you're spending it on education activities, how much of your total? If you're spending it on research related, how much of your total? If you're spending it on community health improvement, how much of your total? That's a new form. All nonprofit organizations, and many of you are probably familiar with this, every year have to submit what's called a Tax Form 990 to the IRS. Every nonprofit organization does that. Now nonprofit hospitals have to attach this Schedule H worksheet to the 990 form. So when they are reporting to the IRS annually, they have a special worksheet now that needs to be completed since 2009, which is where you learn about how a hospital has provided resources to meet its community benefit obligation. The form has a number of different sections on it. I'm just going to focus today on Part 1 and Part 2, which is essentially where you see the delineation of what those community benefit obligations are. On Part 1, the hospitals will report, as I said, how much in financial assistance, how much in Medicaid costs. It does count if you want to account for the difference in terms of what actually Medicaid reimbursed and what the hospital expenses were. So that's a category, and we're actually seeing that increase. With expanded Medicaid coverage coming, that may be an issue for some hospitals. You may see it go up. For other hospitals, if you've got more people covered under the Affordable Care Act, there may be more resources to go around. It sort of depends on what your individual circumstances are going to be. Other means-tested government programs like Medicaid, community health improvement, and for those not too familiar with this, pay attention to that because that's going to be a big piece of what I focus on. Those traditionally have been public health intervention-based services, services outside the four walls of the hospital. So the Medicaid dollars, the uncompensated care, very valid, important community benefit obligations, but they're happening inside the hospital. More often than not, when a hospital reports on how it's spending some of the dollars on community health improvement, it means they've probably helped to support a community health center or a school-based clinic in a school, or a variety of other things, as I said, outside the four walls of the hospital. Health professions training, subsidized health services, research, and a variety of other things. These are all very specifically laid out categories and defined on that Schedule H worksheet. In a separate section of that worksheet is something called community building. And you'll see here physical improvements in housing, economic development, community support, the kinds of upstream investments that may not, to the typical IRS person who's not very experienced in the world of health, see the direct health connection, but clearly all of us in this room and others would say some of these investments may well be some of the wisest you can make. And there's a very active effort on the part of lots of folks right now to try to be sure that as hospitals think about meeting their community benefit obligation, they continue to look at these kinds of activities when appropriate. And I'll talk a little bit about that in the context of the new assessments that the hospitals are conducting. I just want you to see, if you haven't seen it, what it looks like. It's really, really tiny print. It's really, really multifaceted, and I would argue, and I'll tell you a little bit about what we're doing, it's going to be fairly intimidating to some folks who might want to better understand how a hospital is spending some of its dollars, but that's what it looks like. In 2012, more than half the U.S. hospitals were nonprofit corporations, so we're talking about 2,900 hospitals, give or take a few, depending on the moment in time. And back in 2002, the Joint Committee on Taxation did an estimate and valued the federal dollars, if you will, if you looked across all of those hospitals and thought about how much money would there be in terms of in lieu of taxes, and it came out to $12.6 billion, 2002, kind of dated these days. So for sure, this is going to be worth more than $12.6 billion, but it's the one benchmark we have and we often cite. Just in April of 2013 of this year, a couple of researchers at Northeastern, not too far from here, published an article in the New England Journal of Medicine that looked at how hospitals were allocating those dollars on the Schedule H worksheet. 7.5% of the total expenses went to community benefit. This is, again, they're looking at them broadly across the entire nonprofit hospital community. Of those, approximately 6.4% of those expenses involve financial assistance and expenditures associated with Medicaid participation. So big lion's share going into those two categories, less than 0.5% in that community health improvement category that I mentioned earlier. And I just think helpful just keep those allocations and those numbers in mind as we talk about the opportunity for some partnerships with the hospitals and how they might invest in the community. In the Affordable Care Act, many of you may be aware of this, there was a Section 9007 that was included, and it now places new requirements on nonprofit hospitals when it comes to their community benefit obligations. All nonprofit hospitals have to complete a community health needs assessment every 3 years. The clock started ticking in 2012. For the most part, most nonprofit hospitals have completed their first community health needs assessment. In addition to completing a community health needs assessment every 3 years, the hospital needs to adopt, and these are worded in the statute. These are very clear in the law. The hospital needs to adopt an implementation strategy ostensibly related to what was learned and discovered in the community health needs assessment. So what you've learned about what the community needs are, what is the hospital strategy for thinking about and acting and spending resources on activities that would address those needs, hopefully with others, not like they have to do the whole thing on their own, collaboratively in partnership with others. You are not deemed in compliance with the law unless the board of the hospital has approved this implementation strategy. So there was clearly a desire to at least increasingly raise the visibility and accountability around some of these issues around community benefit in the law. Conduct a needs assessment and adopt the implementation strategy at the highest level of the hospital had to be by the board. In the law, it also says that the community health needs assessment must take into account input from persons who represent the broad interests of the community served by the hospital facility, including those with special knowledge of or expertise in public health. In the law, specifically says, we're expecting the government, the IRS, we're expecting that you, nonprofit hospital, will do these things in consultation with people with public health expertise. And they also said that this community health needs assessment that the hospital now needs to conduct must be made widely available to the public. And for the most part, that means posting it on the website. And again, most hospitals are in compliance and doing that. The implementation strategy, which I mentioned, has to be adopted by the board of the hospital, and it's submitted every year. So you do your assessment every three. The implementation strategy, you're supposed to be every year thinking about how are you doing in terms of what you identified as being your implementation strategy. Technically, the law does not say this strategy has to be made widely available to the public. I will say, as these community health needs assessments have begun to be conducted and hospitals are adopting the implementation strategy, a best practice has developed, and many are posting the implementation strategy so that you can see not only how the assessment was conducted and what was discovered, but also what the hospital is saying its strategy is going to be. But interestingly enough, it technically in the law did not require that you would publicly know the strategy when in fact you had to publicly describe what the needs were. For those of us at George Washington University on the panel and many others around the country, we see this new requirement for conducting a community health needs assessment, working with people at the community level, particularly people with expertise in public health. We see this as an incredible opportunity for partnership and collaboration between the hospitals and, I would say, particularly at this meeting, but we say this all the time now, with the public health community. Hopefully an increasing recognition and appreciation on the part of the hospitals that the reason that law says that is that there are people in the public health community with lots of experience about conducting community health needs assessments and could be a huge resource to the hospital as it conducts its assessment. In addition, public health people at the local and community level, as well as some of those other community-based organizations, have been working very closely with the community for quite some time, and an opportunity to really think about how the hospital can be working collaboratively with those other people who professionally have a great awareness of what the very, it could be churches, could be community health centers, all of those sort of nonprofit organizations. So to be thinking, if the hospitals, they've had to continue to contribute to the community benefit obligation, but now this increased visibility, transparency, accountability, we're trying to think about this as an opportunity to really begin, more so in some communities than others, to establish this partnership and to think about collaboration. So when we think about that, we say, well, what would you need to do in order to do that pretty effectively? Well, you would do an assessment of the needs, right? You'd need to know what those needs are. And it's very helpful to know what the hospital perceives as its role in trying to address, hopefully again collaboratively, those needs. But at George Washington University, we were like, but what you don't know from either of these things is, how did the hospital actually spend those dollars? What's the piece of information that if you're going to go and talk with a hospital about what you might perceive as the needs and thinking about a partner, meaning the local public health folks or a community-based organization, if you're thinking about asking the hospital to engage with you to do some upstream investment or be thinking about what would be the most effective collaboration, you wouldn't easily know how much the hospital actually spent on its community benefit obligation or be able to break down the ways in which it spent it when you think about that Schedule H worksheet that I talked about a little bit earlier. So we thought, Schedule H, though, defined categories, must report in these different areas. Wouldn't it be useful if we could think about creating a user-friendly web tool where the less experienced and sophisticated person who might not be a researcher like the folks at Northeastern who did that great study, who don't know a whole lot historically about community benefit, if you could go onto a website, a publicly freely available website, to be able to download information about how much did your hospital spend in community benefit, in what categories, so that it informs a conversation in terms of talking with the leadership at the hospital, but also potentially allows you to do some comparisons. How does this work for a community in another part of the country with similar kinds of things? Are they religiously affiliated? Are they urban? Are they rural? What's the size? I mean, there'd be a variety of different measures. So with the generous support of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, my colleagues and I at George Washington University, and again with the help of some very smart advisors, we are in the process of developing the prototype for such a user-friendly web-based tool. We've been talking with people who are expert in hospital community benefit, talking to folks in the world of public health, community-based services and collaborations. Consumer advocacy, work very closely with a group called Community Catalyst based here in Boston. The Northeastern University researchers who are completely comfortable and experienced in working with Schedule H data and thinking a little bit about how we could create such a database that could be translated into a user-friendly web tool. And then people who know things that we don't at all about how we're going to translate all of that data into something that is quite helpful and useful, we hope, and responsive to what folks at the community level might use. So I do want to underscore this. It's not exclusively this audience, but we are trying very hard to keep in mind so that we don't sort of stray away and get too distracted by thinking about it being a lot of us sort of folks in academia or others in the nonprofit world who'd be interested in this website. We really, really, really are trying to think about those at the community level and working with people at the community level to understand what would be most helpful. But those interested in learning more about hospital community benefit investments who are not experienced researchers and are unfamiliar with the intricacies of Schedule H community benefit reporting. That's who we're trying to design the web tool for. Somebody does an evaluation, that's who they should ask. Does it work? Is it valuable? And does it result in giving you something that winds up being quite beneficial in terms of the partnership? So what's the purpose? To provide information that's needed to inform a conversation with nonprofit hospitals about opportunities for partnership. We would say in addition to assessing community health needs and learning about implementation strategies, it's important to know how the community benefit dollars are spent, and we saw that as a missing leg of the stool. We had the two, not the third. We thought it might be important to try to find a way to construct that third. And then to just underscore again that the overall goal is to help facilitate effective partnerships among nonprofit hospitals, the public health community, and other community partners to invest in strategies that address community health needs. That's the whole reason we're interested in it, in the School of Public Health and the Department of Health Policy. Here's an opportunity. Hospitals have been providing these dollars for a long time. They account for them on Schedule H. It lends itself to being a natural database of information that we see as being one of the sources of information that's probably essential to having a productive, effective conversation with the local nonprofit hospital about how those dollars are being spent. Understanding better why so much might be going into that Medicaid differential, why so much in uncompensated care, why so little in community health improvement, and oh, by the way, can we talk to you a little bit about some of these strategies that would fall under the category of community building? I do want to mention that before I stop. Remember I said when the form was created, part one lists very clearly, if you're doing uncompensated care, if you're doing Medicaid differential, community health improvement, those count. There's been a question because community building is in section two of that document as to whether or not if you invest in those upstream activities, will the IRS count those toward meeting your community benefit obligation if you're a nonprofit hospital? And the IRS has said, so long as you can point to an evidence base, yes, we will. So you do need to point to an evidence base, but most of us, again, at George Washington University and other places, there is plenty of reports coming out of the Centers for Disease Control. We would argue the Surgeon General's National Prevention Strategy and a variety of other things point to those as the source where, in fact, there's an evidence base for some of these upstream investments, and it should not be that hard to suggest that, in fact, they should be counted as community benefit. And that's another piece of what we've been trying to do as we do our presentations is to help people understand that. You report on it in a different place, but it can very much count toward community benefit so long as you point to the evidence base for that. I will stop there. I think the plan is, in case there are any clarifying questions or something quite specific I'd be delighted to answer those, but I know we're going to leave more of the time after all three of our presentations for the end.
And unfortunately, we don't have a microphone, so maybe you could stand up and speak loud.
So it's a very difficult question. How is the total amount of dollars the hospitals have to invest calculated? What's the total percentage of their operating profit that has to be
calculated? Let me see if I've got the question right. How is the total dollar amount of a hospital's contribution calculated? It's usually a percentage of total operating expenses. There's no floor. So there is no percentage that you must meet in order to be in compliance. I should have mentioned this earlier. There are some state laws. So there have been state laws on the books, some of which are, I would say, a little more tough and specific than the federal law. And so there are some states that do actually have to report a certain percentage of their operating expenses by state law. The federal government doesn't have that. My understanding is historically, anytime that conversation comes up, there's a pretty strong push to say, on the part of some of the nonprofit hospitals, to say, don't mandate a number, have us report to you. Assess whether or not you think, in fact, this is enough in terms of what we're reporting. So they report as a percentage of the overall expenses, but at the federal government level, there's not a mandatory minimum. Let me go here and then come back.
It seems that a three-year turnaround for an assessment is not a lot of time. And then you're back at zero. And I worked for the local office of Community Catalyst Healthcare for all of this in the early 2000s. So I've been fascinated by what's going on now, but it just seems the assessment is too short.
So let me just repeat again, because I think you won't get picked up if I don't repeat your question. Is the three-year time period too short to really be realistically be expecting some of the strategies and investments to bear fruit, to really see what those investments would return? I'm not quite sure where the 3 years comes from, but you know, in many cases here, some of these requirements, many of us are urging that this begins a kind of conversation among some players that in many communities hasn't been happening. And so to begin to sort of say, okay, who in the community has expertise in conducting community health needs assessments? How should we think about this? Like, should we be doing it from scratch every 3 years? Or should the assessment after 3 years take into account, even if it's not fully realized, how are you setting your goals? What are your expectations at the end of those 3 years? How are you setting your goals and expectations in terms of the implementation strategy? For the strategy, you're attaching it each year. It's a report. I don't think there's an expectation that you design an entirely new implementation strategy. It's like, how are you doing on your benchmarks over those 3 years? But I think to some degree, as people begin to develop an expertise in really conducting community health needs assessments in a way that are true to the intent, which is to understand those needs, to begin to think about where are the assets and resources in the community, how do you put a collaboration together to be thinking about it, that you'll also get hopefully more experienced and expert at what you're suggesting actually to the federal government you're going to try to achieve and in what time frame. So I'm thinking you don't start from scratch every 3 years, the more people get sophisticated in how you conduct these. But we'll see. It's an the first time they'll be done, and we'll look at these after what the next round of community health needs assessments are. We will be able to look at those because, in fact, they will be posted on the website, and you can over time be looking at how hospitals have reported how they conducted the needs assessment, who they did it with, what the process was, and then eventually what the decision on the part of the hospital was for thinking about addressing those needs. Okay.
A lot of the hospitals are, as you mentioned, are already participating in some activities that are in the hospital. Do you, is the expectation that the
So the question is, will the new requirement really turn into investment in new kinds of strategies or new programs that hopefully effectively address the needs, or will there be sort of an effort to be packaging the dollars? You know, hospitals have been providing community benefit for a long time. And I will say there are some that are real leaders in this field. I'm sure they're in that half a 1% piece in the community health improvement. They have seen it as part of their mission. They have been doing those kinds of things. The state law didn't hurt in a couple of places where they've gotten fairly sophisticated in that way. So there are some wonderful examples, I think, of where hospitals have been doing this, even without that federal requirement, have been working with partners, and have begun to think about, and they've been doing community building. They've actually been the ones who've been arguing for that to be counted as community benefit. The provision in the Affordable Care Act, again, it's about transparency and accountability, I think, if you look at these. So I honestly think what's happening here is not to sort of say, harumph, you know, we sort of know what's been going on, but it's like, you know, now we're going to ask you to do these needs assessments. It's more than what was required by the federal government before. And over time, the IRS and hopefully others will take that information and begin to assess it. And then, as I said, the spirit of what we've been trying to do is that those who have a lot of experience and strong partnerships with people in the local community, they're just beginning to ask the hospitals different questions. How come so much in this category and hardly anything in this? Now, the demographics may drive that. In some places, you know, you're going to see a big increase in potentially needing to provide that differential in Medicaid, or there may be some circumstances in a community. It's perfectly appropriate that the lion's share of these dollars are going to uncompensated care and Medicaid and maybe a few others. In others, you might look and say, you know, I'm not quite sure why there isn't any investment whatsoever in the outside the four walls of the hospital. I wonder if we could talk to you a little bit about what are your pressures? Are there some ways that not only will this better address the needs that you're identifying, but it could also potentially, we have been talking about, you know, speak to some of the hospital business strategies around some of the other changes that they're experiencing. So you didn't know before. You didn't really, you could go to, you know, try to dig through the IRS and GuideStar and find this information. Hospitals have been reporting it since 2009. But now, the assessment needs to be conducted and with people with public health expertise. There's an opportunity we see right away. You've got to think, you've got to talk about that implementation strategy, and it has to be adopted at the board level of the hospital. Okay, well, that's gotten up someplace that in some places I think got stuck in some others. And then I think to this question over time, how much, 3 years, what are people doing, what are they trying to accomplish? It's the better understanding how the dollars are being spent that we're hoping actually does result in a broader set of strategies, a consideration of other investments that many hospitals up to this point in time have not been investing in. And I'll say, and then I'll sit down and let the other speakers, and we'll have some more time at the end. You know, we also say, just moving the needle a little bit from a 0.5% would make a big difference. So we're not asking every nonprofit hospital to wake up and tomorrow 100% of the community benefit obligations go into these categories. No, because in some cases it's going to be quite appropriate to continue to invest in some of those others. But hardly anything? When we know that if asthma or obesity or mental health or drug use is a major community problem, maybe, just maybe, a little of that, those dollars being invested in the upstream strategies, to your point, not going to fix it in 3 years, but maybe over time, we actually could be getting at the root and the causes of what some of those health issues are, and the hospital could potentially be a partner in the community in trying to get them, trying to respond to them. So that's sort of how we're thinking about it these days. Thank you very much. Thanks.